Good morning, everybody. How you doing this morning? I hope you're enjoying this because I'm sure having some fun doing it. What I want to talk to you about today is how to get what you want in life from God. Just how to get what you want, not in the sense of over other people, but just really centering down and figuring out, what do I really want in my life? Remember some things we talked about last week, that we tend to overestimate what can happen in a short period of time, and we underestimate what can happen in a longer period of time. In other words, overestimating short period makes us frustrated and sets ourselves up to fail. Underestimating a long period means we tend to quit before the payoff comes. So hang in there. Another kind of review thought is, change is harder than we make it sound in a sermon. And or a book, or you know, bumper stickers about change. The bottom line is, let's be honest, folks. When we set out to change some of the things that need to change for us to have the life that we want to have, it is not kindergarten stuff. It's serious, hard work. And but it's not impossible. And here's a key thought now: working toward the best version of yourself adds life to your days and days to your life. In other words, when you set yourself to, I want this and I'm going to go after it, you energize every cell in your body. You're just a, you know, remember the commercial, the Snickers commercial said something like this: you're not yourself when you're hungry. Here's the deal: you're not yourself when you're hungry, but that's a good thing. You're the best version of yourself when you're hungry for a future that's different from your past. All right, so what I want to talk about today is, to get what you want, you have to answer a question, a really cool question. A few years back, actually quite a few years back, I was kind of whining and having a pity party, and nobody was coming. You know, I sent invitations, but nobody showed up. And I was just fussing about my church, and it wasn't growing and whatever. And after a little while, I just stopped and said, God, I don't even feel like you're listening to me. And I felt like God led me to Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. And it's the story of blind Bartimaeus. And it talks about Jericho, and he cried out, you know, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. Gosh, I'd love to preach all that to you because it's such good stuff. But eventually Jesus called him over and asked him this. Gosh, it's stunning, the question that Jesus asked. Jesus asked a blind beggar, Jesus, God of the universe, God made flesh. Jesus asked a blind beggar, what do you want me to do for you? In other words, the God of the universe said, what is there going on inside of you that I can bless and put my power and energy behind? In other words, gosh, man, what do you want me to do for you? What do I want God to do for me? How many of you think it might be kind of important to answer that question? Imagine, close your eyes at some point, do it right now if you want to, and imagine Jesus standing in front of you and saying to you, what do you want me to do for you? Now, some of you are like, oh, well, that's, you know, that's that faith, name it, claim it, grab it, blab it, whatever. Here's the deal, guys. It's in the Bible. I'm sorry if that upsets you, but it's in the Bible. And Jesus said, now, I'm going to balance it out a little bit, so relax. But here's the deal. Have you ever really slowed down and answered that question? My wife and I read a book that I want to recommend to you. It's called Aligned Thinking. Not a Christian book per se, but definitely not offensive in any way. It's thin and simple, but it's built around the premise of, what do you want? And we found it very healthy. So have you ever really slowed down to answer the question from a deeper place? And honestly, what I want to say to you is, from a healthier place. And obviously that's part of the problem, because we want stuff based on how unhealthy we are, and that gets us in trouble. All right, let's talk about why it's important. Why is it important for you to answer the question, what do you want me to do for you? Number one, Proverbs 29:18 says this: without a vision, people perish. Other translations say, without a vision, people fall all over themselves. But here's the thing. A vision is a picture of a preferred future that stirs passion and steers purpose. Stirs passion and steers purpose. What am I trying to say? When you have a vision of your future, it corrals your choices. When you make a choice, you reduce your options. When you make a choice, yes, I'm going to do this. No, I'm not going to do that. You've reduced your options. And guess what? Too many options is not manageable. You want to narrow it down. So when you have a vision, this is where I think God wants my life to go. What it does is it reduces your options and makes your choices easier. Not easy, but easier. All right. Number two, why is it important to answer this question? Psalm 37:4 says this, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, you know, obviously we've preached the Dickens out of that. You know, if you just delight yourself in God, you can have whatever you want. Well, here's the deal. If you don't want anything more than you want God, if you don't want anything more than you want God, you can have whatever you want. Erwin McManus said that in one of his books, and it blew my mind. Here's the deal. If God's the most important thing in your life, you can trust your wanter. And the key to partnering with God in pursuit of your preferred future is the key to partnering with God is delighting yourself in God and then letting him breathe life into your wants, your desires, your vision of the future. Because God has a vision for your future. That's the crazy thing about it, man. God has a vision for your future. And you know what? For most of you, for most of us, for me at one time, and probably still, to be honest with you, God's picture of your future is better than yours. It's better than yours. I don't think we overshoot God's future. I think we undershoot it. So that's number two. Number three, why do we need to answer the question, what do you want me to do for you? It's a funny little word. It's called selective attention. Another way to say it is this. You see what you're looking for. Your brain is designed in such a way, and actually there's a part of your brain, sorry, but I'm going to use a weird little word for you here, reticular activating system. The reticular activating system, RAS. The reticular activating system is a part of your brain that sort of, all this information comes and it passes through the reticular activating system. And what the reticular activating system does is it filters what it considers unnecessary, unhelpful, so that you can focus on the important stuff. All right, here's the trick. How does the reticular activating system determine what's necessary and important and helpful? Because you tell it. Because you tell it. Here's the deal, guys. You tell your brain what you want, and then your brain filters reality to get you what you want. And here's the problem. Your brain believes anything you tell it. I'm a loser. I don't deserve to succeed. Guess what? My reticular activating system filters out all the information that says how cool I am, how wonderful I am, how gifted I am, and it lets through all the information that confirms what I already believe. You're a loser and you're never going to succeed. Now, what if I just allow God to work a little bit there, heal me a little bit there, get me a little bit healthier, and I start believing, you know, I'm not perfect, but I'm wonderful. I'm cool. I'm a creation of God and therefore I'm good. Well, now my reticular activating system lets some stuff through that says, Chipper, you don't deserve that success, but you deserve this success. And my whole life changes because I feel better, I see better, and more stuff's coming through to me that's helping me move toward what I want. In case you haven't figured it out yet, one of the things I'm all about, I'm sorry I'm going a little bit long, but one of the things I'm all about is blending biblical spiritual Christianity with what I call sanctified science or sanctified psychology. I love bringing some of that stuff into what we're all about. I'm going to put a link on here to a message I did called When Hunger Meets Heaven. When Hunger Meets Heaven. You're the best version of yourself when you're hungry for a future different from your past. Bless you guys. Love you. And really appreciate you hanging in there with me.